Korax by Gav Thorpe. Read by Gareth Armstrong and John Banks. Missiles streaked across the dusk sky towards the Raven Guard and their allies, and Korax traced their trails to a battery of a dozen whirlwinds on the opposite side of the valley. The cleft between the mountains was full of light, the glow of slowly descending illuminator shells and the blaze of lamps from vehicles and power armor. The yellow glare shone on the warplate and battle tanks of the World Eaters. Some squads and individuals still wore the blue and white of their old Legion colors, though many were clad in red, either paint or blood, their Imperial insignia defaced or obliterated completely. Cerebral implants drove them into a battle madness, their brains awash with a cocktail of stimulants and artificial rage impulses. The berserk warriors of the World Eaters pounded towards the squads waiting for them on the mountainside while their tanks and guns belched shells, rockets and plasma to pave the way for the assault. Through the rumble of engines and the thunder of explosions, the Primarch of the Raven Guard could hear their hate-filled bellows and snarled battle cries. Explosions rocked the slopes, the whirlwinds hammering legionaries and Ferrocrete Aegis walls in fountains of fire. Korax turned his gaze to the left, along the massive viaduct that crossed from one peak to the next along the flank of his position. Above the kilometres-long bridge, thunderhawks and stormbirds ascended towards the higher slopes, watched over by sweeping patrols of lightning fighters. Below streamed columns of another foe. Thousands of space marines advanced beneath banners depicting the Hydra of the Alpha Legion. As he knew only too well, for years they had played shadow games, trying to win by manipulation and subversion, but now they came in numbers to deliver the last blow alongside their uneasy allies. Out to the west, 10 kilometres distant, the foothills were awash with a force even greater in number, comprised of traitorous regiments of the Imperial Army. A sea of soldiers from a score of worlds. Had they bargained their lives to Horus out of loyalty? Had the whispers of the Alpha Legion and sermons of the Word-Bearers turned small grudges and local aspirations into abhorrence of the Emperor and even greater ambitions? Or did a darker force push them to service? The fist of Horus clenched above their homeworlds, threatening destruction to the disloyal. The same could be asked of the pilots of the Nightwalkers and Titan crews whose massive war engines moved in support of the traitor regiments. Threats and promises were as much a part of the rebels' armory as bolters and super-heavy tanks. No such question surrounded the presence of the last component of the forces assembled for the final attack. Phalanxes of red-armored legionaries marched in precise step along the flank of the World Eaters, keeping pace with immense tracked engines of destruction and outlandish war machines that hovered several meters above the undulating ground, floating constructs and towers that pulsed and flickered with unnatural energies. The thousand sons of Magnus, scions of dead Prospero. Korax looked down at his companion, a space marine in storm-grey armour, heavily scarred by the mark of bolt, shrapnel and lasbeam. Though the enamel of his plate was much chipped and cracked, his legion symbol was still visible. A red wolf's head.
"The wolves of Fenris have made a lot of enemies," Korax murmured.
Bjorn did not look up at the Primarch, but flexed his powered claws.
"Nothing occurred that they did not earn."
He turned away and started up the hill towards the fortifications. Korax turned his back on the enemy and followed while more shells and missiles raked across the rocks and emplacements of the mountain slope. His long strides took him towards the keep raised by the Space Wolves, their last line of defence. Like a massive barbican, two towering orbital landers formed an arch, their lifted gull wings creating a gateway 40 metres across. Macro-cannon turrets pounded out a steady rhythm. The rounds from each four-gun salvo descended like meteors into the valley to lay a bloody firestorm upon the advancing World Eaters and Thousand Suns. Around them, anti-aircraft weapons chattered and hissed shells and las into the sky, blanketing the heavens with a storm to deter even the most foolhardy aerial assault. The air crackled with the ship's overlapping void shields, and Korax's armor sparked as he crossed the line of the energy barrier. He ignored the chill as his steps took him into the shadow of the great dropships. Ahead, a cavernous space opened up before him, but the regular cut of the walls betrayed an artificial berth to the hangar-like space within the mountain peak. As well as dozer-marked rock, the stone bore the glassy sheen of phase field excavation. 100 battle tanks and transports nestled within the cavern. Around them, the space wolves gathered about their pack leaders and commanders. They checked their weapons and made final oaths to each other, swearing their lives away against the treachery of Horus. There was not a vehicle nor warrior among them unmarked by battle. In turrets and cupolas, those that could no longer walk had taken up roles as gunners, and others, similarly crippled, occupied the driving positions of the predators, land raiders, rhinos, mastodons, vindicators, and other vehicles that remained of the 6th Legion's armored strength. Bike and jet bike squadrons prowled the periphery like animals waiting to be unleashed from their cages. Slab-sided behemoths strode amongst the sons of Fenris, dreadnoughts interred with the near-destroyed bodies of Legion heroes. Bjorn led the Primarch up metal steps and into a long tunnel that inclined sharply, turning through several switchbacks until it reached a chamber more than 100 meters above the main hall. Silence greeted them. 18 space wolves, the Jarls of the Legion and the survivors of Russ's own wolf guard, crowded the room. They parted at the approach of Korax while Bjorn took up the vigil alongside his brothers. They surrounded a bier fashioned from the top plates of a land raider, propped up at a shallow angle on spare pauldrons. Upon the bier lay Leman Russ. The Primarch's armor was broken in many places, thick with his congealed blood. His face was a mask of pain, lips drawn back to reveal broken teeth, one eye swollen closed by bruised flesh and shattered orbital bone. A hiss escaped the injured Primarch's gritted teeth. His eyes flickered open, but his gaze danced around the room without lucid sight. Korax lowered to a knee so that he might hear better.
"Death, at your call, I shall return,"
whispered Russ. He sat up suddenly and grasped the gorget of Korax's armor. There was madness in the Wolf King's eyes.
"The wolf time! I hear the snarl of the beast!"
He lapsed into wordless snarls and grunts. Korax pried his brother's fingers from his armor and let him slump back onto the bier. Laying a hand upon Russ's chest, he could feel the twin beats of the Primarch's hearts, as strong and fierce as ever. His body was broken, but it was his mind, his soul, that had suffered the greatest wounds. An odd sound drew his attention back to Russ's face. The Primarch sobbed, eyes closed, breath coming in short gasps.
"I failed,"
croaked the Lord of Fenris.
"Darkness, hell awaits."
Korax cradled Russ's head against his chest, unsure and unnerved by the sight of one of his strongest brothers cast so low. Seeing the Raven Guard Primarch's fell expression, the assembled wolf lords threw back their heads and howled, and the noise of their laments echoed through the corridors and halls of their last outpost. Korax spoke quietly, the question asked of himself.
"How did we come to this?"